Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
And good morning, everybody. Matt Smith, political director of Channel 12, joins us as he always does. But today,
he got called away.
He got called. Always some story you got to cover. And Matt Smith joins us on the hotline. Hopefully, you're heading north and not south because they're getting buried in snow to the south of us.
Yeah.
You're going north?
No, south, which is good. Like a foot of snow. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And as I was telling Kristen before the show, I am not ready for any of the snow nonsense yet.
I wasn't ready for the temperature.
Yeah, it was cold.
I wore a leather jacket out yesterday to the Bucks game. I was like, ooh, I was not prepared for the temperature that is outside right now.
So, Matt, we're going to keep you for one long segment because we know it's always a little more tenuous when we have you on the phone line. So hopefully the phone line and the connection stays solid. But obviously the big story nationally and locally is the shutdown, at least proceeding to some sort of a deal as a journalist in Wisconsin, host of Upfront on Channel 12 and as the political director there. What's your assessment of how this is playing out?
Wow. There was a lot that happened over the weekend, right? Specifically yesterday. So you kind of have two paths that everything is on, right? First, this deal that was negotiated in the Senate among some moderate Democrats, Senator Baldwin, not one of them, who voted to at least move this bill forward. And then secondly, you have the mess that is still unfolding with food share and SNAP across the country. And Wisconsin is in a really unique position. We are one of, if not the only state, that really went kind of guns a-blazing in terms of like loading money onto the cards while we have all of these back and forth court rulings. And now there's just a lot of questions about where everything stands potentially a deal in place.
So
that sum it up?
Yeah. So basically, let's go back to the SNAP thing, because I think that's, like you said, we're one of the few states that actually pulled the trigger on this. So basically, as I understand it, Thursday night, while there was a gap between the federal judge ruling or the appeals court ruling and the additional appeal from the Trump administration, Governor Evers pulled the trigger, right? And funded all of the Quest cards for food share in Wisconsin. And now the back and forth becomes, as I think the Trump administration has until 4 p.m. today, I think, for the First Circuit. But where did the money come from that, as far as from, for food share in Wisconsin? And two, do we have any clarity on, because I know Trump is demanding that we undo that act, but is that even possible?
All really great questions,
great.
Kristen, as we sit here on a Monday morning. So here's kind of how I've explained this and understand it, I guess, to the best of my knowledge. So there's kind of two processes at play here. The state, as you mentioned, loaded all the money, $104 million plus, onto all the cards for Wisconsinites, some 700,000 who received food assistance. That money, in theory, on these cards, think of it, I guess, like a credit card right now, right? That money is there. They can go swipe the card and get their food. What isn't happening is on the back end, all of this money coming from the federal government, which typically reimburses these local businesses, the grocery stores, those reimbursements aren't there right now. The U.S. Treasury halted that money, has stopped payments. So we are really in a limbo, and the major impact, at least at this moment, the governor's office says all of this reimbursement money will run out today if the courts don't step in, are the grocery stores that could really feel the short-term impact. Long-term, who knows what's going to happen. But if you have your Quest card, if you have your EBT card, in theory, you are still able to go use it. The full benefits are there. What isn't happening is the federal money being reimbursed to the local grocers.
You know, one of the things that was emerging late last night, as we all sort of worked to see what the details of this potential agreement in the Senate and eventually the House on the budget shutdown is, that there is apparently an extension for these SNAP funds through, I think, November.
For a year?
Yeah, through November of 26. That is, I think, a concession that a lot has to happen before it gets signed by the president. But that is, Matt, and a concession, at least something the Dems can hang their hat on, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of back and forth within the Democratic Party this morning about whether this is the right path to take. You have the moderate Democrats who are saying, listen, we are at the point where we got the conversation on Obamacare subsidies. We're getting some of this funding, like for SNAP. Now we need to reopen the government and sit down and negotiate. You have some more progressive Democrats. You have Senator Tammy Baldwin. You have Congressman Mark Pocan coming out and essentially ripping this deal to shreds. In essence, saying we shut the government down for what? We are now giving Republicans what they want.
Well, what is your move this week as far as who do you want to talk to first to get more clarity of where this goes?
Well, great question as well, Kristen.
Full of them this morning.
So many great questions. Listen, we want to talk with the governor. We want to hear the latest on this back and forth, because Wisconsin really is now at the center of this debate nationally, as we just talked about being one of the only states to go full in on the SNAP and share benefits. So we need to understand what is happening at the moment and as we go into the week. Obviously, we want to hear from the delegation, Senator Baldwin, more on her decision to vote no, as this now will come before the Senate. And then it'll be curious to see, like, the prediction is that this will pass the House on a razor-thin vote, but you can never say never. So what are those conversations looking like as House members are now being called back to Washington to vote on this Senate package to see how all of this plays out?
Matt Smith, political director at Channel 12 and host of Upfront, along with Jared Jordan, joining us on the hotline. We'll let you go in a little bit, but I want to ask you about, for the first time, the candidates for governor, not all of them, Tom Tiffany wasn't there, and I think there was one other individual that wasn't there, met at the Wisconsin Technology Council, a joint forum. Any takeaways from that event?
Yeah, it was super fascinating. I was able to moderate that. There were six candidates on stage, five Democrats, one Republican, Josh Shulman. And listen, this was focused specifically on tech and the economy. Trump did come up. The administration came up. We talked a lot about data centers and the impact here in Wisconsin. And I think we talked about this a while back. It's fascinating that there's really no partisan take mm-hmm. on data centers. There's really no back and forth. And the answers are kind of all over the place in terms of what they would do as governor in terms of these massive developments. So that was fascinating. It was interesting to get their initial takes on the economy, as for the first time we saw a good chunk of them all up on stage together for the first time talking about some of these important issues.
Was there anything that you've of note as far as, especially for Democrats, starting to differentiate themselves?
I think you saw some of that in terms of the talk on data centers and their approach. And if you take more of a data center business approach, or if you take more of a community concern approach, right, in terms of how you would navigate these waters, some of the candidates, like State Senator Calder Roy, State Rep Francesca Hong, really went after Trump and the Trump administration. Others were a little hesitant. I asked the Democratic candidates, in terms of the economy, how they would work with the Trump administration if there was an economic development benefit for Wisconsin. Some really struggled to answer that. Others took a more nuanced approach in how they would work with the Trump administration. So I think along those lines, Kristen, you're going to start to see some differences among some of the candidates.
All right, Matt Smith, we'll let you go. We'll reconvene next Monday at 10 o'clock here in the studios. Safe travels wherever you're going.
Sounds good. You guys have a great week.
All right. Lots more to get to. We have a little bit later this hour, we have Dan Bice, our newest contributor to the Monday show, and a special guest, Bill Glauber. Our pal Bill Glauber is going to join him as well. They may be here in a little bit earlier than 10:35. We'll see how that all shapes out, but we have plenty to talk about on Point Taken Monday edition right here on 620 WTMJ.
All right, Street Steve, what is Wisconsin's nickname? Is it America's Dairyland or the Badger State?
I said Badger State.
I feel like this isn't one that has a distinct objective answer, but if you have a strong opinion on what Wisconsin's nickname is, whether it's America's Dairy State or America's Dairyland or the Badger State, let us know. But either way,
is there a right answer?
I don't know. I don't know. But either way, we are we're going to be doing some trivia. Maybe not just Wisconsin trivia, but a whole type of lots of types of trivia this Wednesday at Revere's Wells Street Tavern in Delafield at 7 p.m. It's going to be Steve, me, Jeff Sherman for a special night of fun and giving. It's WTMJ's Trivia Showdown, part of Capco's Kids to Kids Christmas Toy Drive. So just bring your friends, test your trivia skills, and help spread some holiday cheer, all while supporting a great cause. But don't forget, just bring a new unwrapped toy to donate and make a difference for kids right here in our community. So it's WTMJ Trivia Showdown this Wednesday, November 12th, 7 p.m. at Revere's in Delafield. Steve, Jeff, me, we'll all see you there.
And all of our great fans and listeners.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And maybe some other GKB folks.
I've done a bunch of these. They're amazing. And you sort of compete as teams and little insider baseball.
I mean, you could play solo if you think you can just...
Yeah, if you're that smart. Yeah. The questions are hard, though. They're not easy questions. And my opportunity is to help you if you need help on something.
I feel like these two would be good at trivia.
Yeah, speaking of these two, we're going to take a quick break. And then these two gentlemen, Dan Bice, watchdog columnist, Journal Sentinel, and Bill Glauber, retired journalist and now hopeful golfer. I should put it in those terms. Don't talk. We're going to break. We'll get you guys. Glauber, Bice, Kristen, Steve, point taken. Lots of fun we're going to have in the next 40 minutes. Well, it's up to those guys to make it fun, I guess. There's a lot of news anyway. We'll do it after the break on 620 WTMJ.
Now it's time to get biced with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel watchdog reporter Dan Bice on Point Taken.
I know you're a big shot when you get your little...
You get your own opening.
Big voice guy talking you in like Dan Bice. You got watchdog columnist. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, our local newspaper here in the state of Wisconsin. One of several great newspapers in the state of Wisconsin. Also joining us, a semi-regular contributor and... amateur golfer.
I don't
Bill
get the
Glauber.
Low voice.
You don't get the big voice guy, no. Although you certainly deserve it as an esteemed.
No, that's okay. I don't need
journalist.
The big voice guy, but it sounded good with Bice.
Yeah, it did. Oh, Dan's a smart guy.
We could name Bill the Hall of Famer of this show, right?
There we go.
How big's your Hall of Fame right now?
Do we nope. have? We don't have a Hall.
No,
of Fame.
Should, that'd be a good. Now you do. Start making a
now
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Who would be in that group? Well, we could make him the introductory.
Do we need to get like smoking jackets like they have at SNL for the five timer club?
Maybe let's go cheaper vests.
Okay.
Like vests with our show logo on. All right, gentlemen.
A stern handshake.
Late last night, of course, there's a lot of things happening in Washington, D.C. We have this alleged budget deal. We talked a little bit about that with Matt Smith in the first half hour. But one of the other things that happened, I think, was at 10:14 last night.
Yeah.
Presidential pardons. Including for a lot of people who are involved in our little dust-up after 2020. What do you make of these pardons there, Dan Bice?
I mean, obviously the president uses the pardons whenever he wants to and for anybody he wants to.
Whether he knows them or not.
It surprises me that it took him this long to do it. You know, and it affects several people in Wisconsin. I mean, it mentions several people in Wisconsin, but in terms of impact, it doesn't affect the state case that Josh Call has brought against. Probably the best known person is Jim Troupas, his former judge. He's been a very prominent Republican, and nationally a guy named Kenneth Cheesebro. They were involved in the whole, Cheesebro was involved in coming up with the idea of the alternative slate
very
of electors
involved.
Everywhere. And so they were involved he was involved in Georgia and other places that this happened. But you know, this actually could have been resolved here already, but Josh Call took, I mean, he took a long
ages.
Time.
I think the word is ages.
Right.
Did he ever answer the question of why he dragged his feet?
I don't think so. But you
if
know,
if he did, it would be a cautious reply.
Okay. Yeah.
it. But is that out of the unusual? How long did it take us to find out if he was running for governor or not?
Yeah.
All right. To the bigger question, what's happening is the president of the United States is going back and. After he lost most of the 2020 battles in 2021, he's going back and rebranding that whole thing, going back to what he said then, is right. That he won the election.
No, it's so, worse than that.
It's, okay, tell me why
it's the continuing rewriting of history. There was an attempt to steal the 2020 election. It led to a riot at the Capitol and an attempted insurrection. That's the bottom line, and they're trying to rewrite that and spin it for history.
But he does. I mean, it's a thing that's going on every day. I mean, you probably saw the BBC thing, which was a real screw up, where they overstated what he had to, what the president had to say on January 6th.
They condensed two clips to make it sound worse.
And there
than
was 50 minutes
not
in between
that it was good.
Them, so it's not like just condensed.
Yeah.
We all
They cut it. They edit it.
When we're writing stories, it's not unusual, and people sometimes don't realize this, but if you give a statement that's an entire paragraph, sometimes we'll, you know, narrow it down, put quotes together from the beginning and the end of the comment. But in their case, they took two entirely different points and merged them into making it sound like he was telling them to go up and start a insurrection, which he stopped short of. But obviously he was not opposed to it and could have called them off and didn't do that. But yeah, you're right. He is trying to rewrite. I mean, he's rewriting everything. What did he do early in the week? He was pardoning Daryl Strawberry. My kids don't even know.
Hey,
who
the
Daryl
straw.
Strawberry.
Come on. It's the straw.
He's a New York guy. That's why he's
there's
saying
press
that.
Today saying that what's her name? Ghislaine Maxwell.
That he's going to pardon her.
Well, she's asking for that apparently. Although she's getting treated royally.
Well, I think what she's asking for is a reduction in sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, it's still heinous crimes, soft prison, now a commutation. I mean, might as well just pardon.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Meanwhile, in Britain, Prince Andrew is out as a result of the scandal.
Yeah, punishment.
Real punishment.
He's still not in jail.
No, he's not in jail.
He just lost his title.
Lost his house.
He lost his title and a lot of money.
And his house.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, we thought for a long time, including people in the press, that there were things that you couldn't do, or if you did them, you would be in deep, deep trouble if you're president. But now things like that happen every day. And, you know, so what?
As they say, you know what happens? Four-letter word beginning with S and ending with T. All right, Bill Glauber, Dan Bice. We're going to continue the conversation after the break. Thanks for coming early, by the way, because Matt was on the road. She is Kristen Bry. I'm Steve Scafidi. This is the Monday edition. Thanks for finding us on your Monday. There's a lot of things going on, especially if you live south of us. Hello, snow. That's insane. All right, I got a full house in here today on this Monday. Of course, Kristen Bry alongside Steve Scafidi. Point taken, 6 point WTMJ. Hope you got our newsletter this weekend. We'll play a little bit more about that later this half hour because it's second edition now.
Second edition.
A new newsletter.
A new newsletter. Yeah. Extra points.
Extra points. So the stuff we didn't get to, or we add on stuff, we do a show poll.
Your picture was featured in this week's newsletter.
Well, you were the big news on last Monday because your debut episode as a contributor. So Glauber's been on the show many times.
Well, when you're with the paper 33 years, I wonder which picture you're going to run.
It was a studio shot.
It was a studio shot of all of us just chit-chatting.
I didn't think it was particularly flattering, at least in my picture, but, you know.
I chose.
We got to compete with this next list here. All right. Hannah Dugan?
Yeah.
How are you covering that story?
Just because it was a big story, and I was the first one to write that she had been charged.
Fill in the blanks for the listeners in case they're detached from this story after a while.
Yeah, back in April 18th, she had this incident where there was an illegal immigrant who came into her courtroom, and six agents, ICE agents, drug agents, number of agents showed up outside the door. She was upset about that, and she moved their case forward and then led them out a side door. Actually, this week it came out that there's some confusion about which door they should have gone out, but they got caught by the agents. He tried to run away. They caught the agents. And then a week later, they charged her criminally with obstruction and a number of things. And so on December 15th, she's going to face what will be a national trial. It'll be 5-day trial right before Christmas. They start picking jury on December 11th. And for the last several months, it's been chugging away. Her attorneys have asked that the case been dismissed, saying that everything she did was an official act, and that, she was immune from prosecution. And the judge, who's a very liberal judge, Lynn Edelman, we both know him pretty well, Bill and I do.
You know him a lot better than I do. I'm still amazed that he's a full-time judge and not a reserve judge.
He's referring to the fact that he's 80, in his mid-80s. But I covered him when he was in the legislature back in the early 90s. But he decided not to throw out the case. So it is headed to jury trial. Both sides told me it's definitely going to trial. And then on Friday night, the prosecution... There's a motion. It's a traditional motion, usually very boring, called an in limine motion. It just says, we don't want the other side to bring up these issues during the trial. And usually it's just basic stuff. Like she was interviewed by police on April 22nd, 4 days after the incident in her courtroom. And so you know, they said don't bring up that. But then they laid out their most detailed description of what they believed happened on April 18th. What they added to the case was that she told a colleague that she was in the doghouse because of what she had done. She said she was going to, quote, get the heat because she led them out of the courtroom. And then the second judge who met with the agents with her said that judge who testified before the grand jury was very uncomfortable with what Judge Dugan was doing.
Judge Cristela Cervera?
Cervera. And Cervera's going to testify. It looks like she's going to testify against Hannah Dugan. And then the final thing that they talked about was there's this jury door. It's a door that leads the jury out. And there's two options. You can take a left staircase that takes you stairs. Nobody uses it. I went down there last week just to look at it. And if they had taken that stairwell, no one would have seen them and they would have been in the clear. If you go straight out the doorway, you head straight into the hallway and there were two agents standing there and they were able to arrest them. So the question is, did Dugan direct them to head down out which door when she got there?
Glauber, I want to hear your take on this. What do you think?
Dan knows this case better than I do, but my reading of the case is she faces some severe consequences.
The thing is, I think that it's not going to be resolved here, which is something for everybody to know. I think it'll be resolved either at the appellate court, because whoever loses is going to appeal, and it could very easily go to the Supreme Court. Both sides have attorneys who have argued before the Supreme Court.
Well,
Paul Clement is on her team.
Who's a conservative.
He is.
In history, like historically, right?
Yeah. Right. He worked for a Republican president, and he would argue the case for Dugan if it gets to the Supreme Court.
If you know, have any protocols or procedures been changed as a result of what Judge Hannah Dugan allegedly tried to do?
Actually, things have sort of frozen. At the time that this happened, the chief judge for Milwaukee County was coming up with a policy on what do we do if ICE shows up here? And he had some draft rules. This was April 18th. Today in mid-November, there's still draft rules. He hasn't come up with the rules yet for how they deal with it. So, you know, I went up with John Dietrich, who's doing the thing with me, and Mary Spicuzza, who was here last week. All three of us are covering the trial. And we went up and just walked through the courtroom after hours and around and stuff. And it doesn't look like anything's changed. There are a couple of things that are interesting from a public perspective. One is the audio of what happened in the courtroom. Both sides have the audio of what she said, but the courts won't release to us what those audio tapes. And so we've been fighting since May to get these audio tapes so we can hear what she said and what everybody else said in the courtroom that day. No one's ever asked for these. The thing is, court reporters there aren't many of them anymore. And so they're replacing them with audio recordings. And so we've been fighting to try to get that audio recording for a long time.
It's a public record. Or is it not?
The thing is, the courts aren't bound by open records in the same way that the other branches of government are. So no one had ever asked. The Supreme Court in July offered an opinion on this, and we're still fighting to try to get it.
Huh.
Bill Glauber, Dan Bice joining us for the rest of this half hour. Kristen and Steve, point taken. If you miss any or all of our interviews or our show, you can find it on our podcast page at WTMJ.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Point taken is the search. Lots more to get to. We'll do it after this on 620 WTMJ. All right. Happy Monday, everybody. Sorry for those folks south who are getting all that snow. But, you know, take your time. Don't stress your heart or your body. It's supposed to be light snow. But here's my thing. Unrelated to our guest, Dan Bice and Bill Glauber. If you got 13 inches of something light, it still adds up to be a heavy thing, regardless if there's, you know, if it's lighter snow, lighter water content. As a son of a weatherman, I think I qualified to say that. All right, Bill Glauber, we'll start with you.
The shutdown, Schumer, I think the most interesting thing is Schumer and what his future is. Is he past his sell-by date?
How old do you think he is?
He's in his 70s.
Yeah,
we both thought he was older.
He's 74.
We both thought he was like 80.
He skews old.
He does.
Well, I think the interesting thing on this shutdown with the politics is, what does Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez do? Is she going to run for president, or is she going to take the more sensible path of actually challenging Schumer? And I think that she is potentially his biggest rival.
Which is interesting, because they keep asking her about that, and she's doing a pretty good job dodging the question, I think. But agreed as far as looking at which Democrats caved on this, well, however you want to frame it. I'll say caved. All Democrats who either are retiring or are not up for re-election. So and also people who don't typically fall out of line. So as far as like pretending that Chuck Schumer didn't bless them voting while he's crying that because he's up for re-election, while he can say that he's standing strong. Like, I just don't buy it.
Well, I think he's maneuvering behind the scenes, but like I think AOC is in the catbird seat. She's either going to run for president or run for U.S. Senate. And if she runs for president, I don't, right now, I wouldn't say she'd be the president of the United States, but you can't rule her out in terms of winning a Democratic primary.
She would be in the top tier of candidates on the Democratic side.
Who else is in your
side?
Top tier of candidates for Democrats in 2028?
Well, Gavin Newsom.
Okay.
That's the easy one.
Beyond that, and then AOC, who you got?
Pete Buttigieg.
That's
going to be in Wisconsin later
Shapiro
this week.
Would be,
Josh Shapiro
would be. I mean, he's an articulate guy who was discussed as a potential vice presidential candidate last time.
I don't think Harris is in the top tier. I think she'd have to fight her way back into the top tier.
Had her chance, got handed the nomination, and lost.
Usually, you don't get to run twice.
That sounds a whole lot like the argument locally for Mandela Barnes.
Yeah.
That we gave you which we both covered his race.
And we talked about.
And he still has not made, I mean, he's now become the Josh Call of the Democratic Party. And that yet to say whether he's running again.
Like, get it over with. Yes or no. What are we waiting for here? It's like this prima donna that has to like be just waiting in the wings.
He waited a long time to announce that he was running for Senate though, too. What month did he finally announce that he was running for Senate back in 2022?
Yeah. And he ended up having three opponents, but it worked out for him because they all dropped out. So, but this is going to be very, very different because that time, no one on the Democratic side criticized him. They're already criticizing him this time.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about the governor's race, but just to get back to your original point, AOC Schumer, AOC wins, you think?
I think AOC could potentially run him into retirement.
I was going to say, more likely is if you see the numbers aren't trending the right way, you do what every incumbent toward the end of their career does, and you decide it's been a good career.
There is a generational brawl within the Democratic Party, where the elderly politicians.
Yeah, they hate old people.
And I use elder.
They don't hate old people. We encourage you to go take retirement and enjoy your last years of
just
life.
Just discard
on
all your money and your wealth and your experience, because we want the young.
Nancy Pelosi was 85.
She should have retired 10 years ago.
So is there a young moderate? It seems like it's more than just a generational.
Do you consider Pete Buttigieg a moderate?
Yeah, I think so. Except for his the fact that he's gay, makes that front and center as an issue for him. But he's not AOC.
Certainly not AOC. Westmoreland, I don't think, is AOC. I think AOC is the furthest to the left.
I was just wondering
if
you could say there's an ideological battle going on. And there is, but it's not necessarily aligned.
Maybe
with
Ilhan Omar? What's her name?
Yes, that's her name.
Maybe she'll run since the Mamdani had so much success. Maybe she'll run for president.
She's not running for president.
Of course, I'm just being.
I was just letting you play. Down, yeah. No.
I'm not. You're not letting me
know.
Well,
I know you're skeptical about AOC, but she's a force.
I guess. Yeah.
So do you like either of the two front runners on the Republican side
for
president? I mean, just this last week, Politico was reporting.
I say the same thing I've said for the last, I don't know how many years. Nikki Haley deserves a shot. First woman president, first Republican woman. I love that story.
Who's the other one besides J.D. Vance that you were going to mention?
He was saying J.D. What's his name? Rubio was saying J.D. Vance is the front runner.
Yeah.
Oh, I think most people would agree with that.
He said
he would not
start getting his way, basically.
Right. But he was saying he's interested. But he thinks that Vance is the front runner right now.
All right, let's take a break. We're already late for break. Tom Tiffany was a story you reported about
Yeah, I'll talk.
You're really into the web story stuff lately, and the web, you know, the backgrounds.
The fact is, a lot of people sent me notes saying, if you take a guy down on his, from his web postings, you need to look at everybody else. So
everybody stop talking. We got to take a break. 620 WTMJ. All right, got a few minutes left with our guest, Dan Bice, our regular Monday contributor, who always brings fun guests. Today, that fun guest, by definition, is Bill Glauber, retired journalist now. All right, Bice and Bill, feel free to comment. You've been writing a lot of stories about sort of the internet activity and the websites of political candidates. This time you talked about Tom Tiffany, candidate for governor on the Republican side.
The internet's is great for me, and it's been great for me for like 10 years. I should actually put together the best of Dan Bice on people who screw up online.
I feel like you should name this segment, like the recurring segment, like the internet is forever.
And so it was funny when I did the thing on Bill Berrien, candidates and just members of the public said, we want to see what other people have been doing online. So I turned one around pretty quickly just on Tom Tiffany, because right before he got into the race, he's a Republican. He's got one opponent, Josh Shaiman. Most people think that Tiffany will be the nominee. He changed his entire webpage. It went from being very political. Here's my position on guns. Here's my position on any number of other issues, abortion. And he wiped all that out and changed it to issues. And it all became bland. I want to make Wisconsin great again.
Why the word bland? What's your definition of that?
Bland meant I was bored when I was reading it. So I was reading it. And so all that stuff was gone. But, you know, there's a lot of concern about his position on abortion, because within the last 5 years, he supported two bills that would restrict abortions after 6 weeks. One with restrictions only for, and only have an exception for the life of the mother, nothing else, rape or incest, no. And then he had one for 15 weeks. But the state law now here is 20 weeks. And so he's changed his position, and he says he's at 20 weeks. So when
Republicans can't change their mind?
No, but it's worth documenting the fact that it's a convenient change for him to change his mind, because he's been in politics a long, long time and has written online about how he's going to fight them. He's also been endorsed by both major anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. One's fairly mainstream. One includes no exceptions for any abortions, and they're also strongly opposed to contraceptives. He's been supported by them in the past.
All right, Glauber, you Dan's got about 30
not,
seconds.
Dan's not telling you. Tom Tiffany is actually fun to cover, because he'll say anything, and that makes him interesting. And, you know, you ask him a question, he'll give you an answer, and those answers are going to come into play during this election.
I've interviewed him probably 3 or 4 times. Always a nice interview.
And so. But he has opinions.
He does.
Opinions that may not play so well in a general election.
Or they may play well with Republicans.
Well, they will play well with Republicans.
But he has a long record. He has a record that might or might not play. What's your position on margarine and butter? He has one. He introduced a bill that
What's your position on margarine and butter?
I'm pro butter.
I like margarine.
Do you do?
Yeah.
Weird.
So he introduced a bill once to require them to serve margarine in the prisons. I mean, so he's got stuff going way back on lots of topics, and that's a great thing for me.
Treasure trove.
All right.
You're right.
We gotta wrap it up. So can you bring Bill back next week? Because he didn't have enough time.
I'll
never get a word in edgewise with Dan. It doesn't matter.
I'm just trying to get you equal time.
That is not true. In the newsroom, people thought he was the one who talked too much.
Oh, Bill Glauber, thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Bice, we'll see you next Monday. News is next on 620 WTMJ.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Annex Wealth Management CEO Dave Spano on Point Taken.
Ooh, I like this new opening for the one, the only, Mr. Dave Spano, who's not only on the phone with us, but if you were watching the YouTube stream, he is also on video. Looking good, Dave. How you doing?
Well, not as good as you, but yes, yes, thank you.
All right, I hear before we get into markets and 50-year mortgages, you're going to go to the game tonight?
I'm supposed to go to the game tonight. I have to make sure that I'm dressed properly to stand outside for a number of hours in 28-degree weather. So, Steve, are you going?
Yeah, and if you are outside, text me and I'll wave to you from the warm inside.
Oh, see, that is not a real fan. Not a real fan.
I've done it both ways.
I'm going to have a knit cap and gloves on, I'm sure.
You're going to need it. It's supposed to be, I think, 29 at game time, going down to about 17 at some point, which is perfect for football.
All right, let's get into this. I mean, there's so much to get to talk about between the shutdown, but I also think there's been a shift that seems like after last week's elections, President Trump is thinking more about the A word, right? Affordability. But one of the things that came out was this idea of a 50-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage. And I get that the monthly, in the short term, your monthly payment is lower, but seeing some of the numbers of how much you end up paying the bank, why is this a good idea?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. So think about 50 years. I don't know how old you have to be to get a 50-year mortgage. I'm pretty sure I don't got 50 years left. However, you think about, the payment will be lower, and so that does make it more affordable and more flexible for someone who wants more house or be able to get into a house. I get all of that. But then if you, put the positives and then next to it the negatives, there's a ton of that. And if you look at the difference, as you point out, between a 30-year and a 50-year, it is, 10 or 15% less. But if you run the numbers, the interest rate is almost 2x to what you would pay from a 30 to a 50.
So it seems like it's good for the banks, but I don't know if it's good for homebuyers.
What's the policy play for the president here? I don't get it.
Well, again, affordability. And you look at, what people... it's lowering the payment. So it does lower the payment, and that means that more people are allowed to get into a home versus rent. And that's probably the argument. And if you look at affordability and talk about what is the number, housing represents about 30 to 35% of people's costs. And so if you can lower that payment even minor way. And by the way, Steve, a lot of people don't hold their mortgages for 30 years. And so they're going to trade out of it. They're going to upgrade. They're going to refinance, all of those things. So in the short term, it might get you into the house. But in the long term, it would cost you more. But, you remember back in the day, you used to burn your mortgages when you got them paid off, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a big day. And just as a financial planning axiom, if you can get out at some point and get out and not have a mortgage, that's a substantial financial planning play.
Dave Spino joining us on WTMJ's Point Taken. All right, so we know that the shutdown deal is in the works. A lot of announcements last night. A lot of people pontificating, at least elected officials pontificating today about that. What's your take on how this deal might play out and what the impact on the economy and the markets will be?
Well, if it's a clean CR that's been out there right now, and it's and I'm sure you've covered this already today, it's the idea or promise that there will be a vote on ACA subsidies extension. So we'll see if that happens. I mean, that would be a big promise broke if they don't have that conversation. But, it's likely that these things happen in bunches. In other words, you get a clean CR through January, and then you're right up against it again and have these problems again. But, you've got Thanksgiving coming up. You talk about the motivations to get this thing done. You've got Thanksgiving coming up, the biggest travel day, and you can see already the number of delays and cancellations, and we're not even close to getting out there yesterday. I know both my kids were flying yesterday, and they got delayed and delayed, and then one actually got canceled. So if you think about trying to get home for that might be a champagne problem, but there's no question that travel is part of it. But then you look at putting SNAP benefits back into place, putting some government workers back on payroll. These are significant things to, in the meantime, to get away from the leverage that both sides want to get this deal done, to really come down to these ACA subsidies.
So we talked last week when you were on about the K economy, which I heard. It was funny. It was one of those things where you hear it once and then you hear it for the rest of the week and you're constantly hearing it.
That's because we set it up.
We
Kristen,
totally,
you
yeah,
and
we,
I.
Set, we set the trend.
They never heard of it between our conversation.
Exactly. And so, but then the day after you were on, the Tuesday night elections happened and so much of that conversation was around affordability. So let's say shutdown is over, Congress gets back to work. What are some of the actual functional policies that Congress could have in their control to start fixing the affordability problem and some of these trends with the lower part of the K to even out to the upper part of the K? Is there something they could be working on?
And I guess that's really just a philosophical question. I mean, can government fix all of your problems, right? And so I can argue that your education affects your income. There's been papers written about this for 50 years, right? And the higher you get in education, the higher your median annual income goes up. There's just a ton of evidence on that, right? And so education is clearly part of that. That's number one. Number two, this conversation about health care has got to happen. I mean, you know, I don't care where you are in your income strata, health care is an issue in this country, and it's been that way. I mean, I can remember Clinton talking about this, and that's, you know, 30 years ago. And so what benefit, you know, what have we made? What strides have we made? So, you know, more technology probably could be in there. So health care could be a policy issue that for sure could fix affordability. Education, getting people more access to higher education and better schools. But, you know, prescription drugs and telehealth and, you know, artificial intelligence perhaps in the healthcare field, all of these are measurable, logical conversations that could happen. Will they happen is a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Dave, you and I talked about this before, and it's, you know, sort of looks back at the history of the market and bubbles and what people are worried about. And the AI question comes up a lot. I read a lot about and watch a lot about AI and how it's sort of taking over. If a few firms dominate the market, and we all know the names, right? Does the market essentially become so sensitive to their outcomes and their, you know, their business that it sort of jeopardizes what we know as the strength of the markets where there was some diversity before?
Yeah, and that is true. So that Mag 7 that you're talking about, all the big names, do represent about 30% of the capitalization of the market. So when they move back and forth, it does affect the market as a whole. But you look at the Mag 7, for example, you know, the NASDAQ was down about 3.5% last year. But I always say, and you know I say this, is put it in perspective. So the NASDAQ is now up about 20%, even though it was down 3.5% last week. It's still up 20% year to date in 2025. 2024, it was up 30%. In 2023, it was up 42%. And so that is substantial. You add those three together, NASDAQ almost doubling in the last 3 years. So, yes, there's no question that it does affect the market. And, yes, it's gone well. But there are other parts of the economy that did not, or part of the markets that did not go down last week. And that's the reason why you have diversification. And that's the reason why you should rebalance when you get to this point. If it's overweighted in one particular area, this is the time to look at it and rebalance, especially as we go into the end of the year.
Since you asked, real quick, because I know Kristen wants to ask a question, the rebalance question comes up a lot. How often should you be considering that sort of re-look at your finances?
Yeah, and it should not be a calendar. You know, I think I'm fundamentally opposed to those who say every quarter end we're going to rebalance. It's really a bad time to do it, by the way. It should be on some parameters. It has, for example, if you have tech in your portfolio, instead of being whatever it should be, 5 or 10%, it's become 20%. That's the time to rebalance back to the middle. So it shouldn't be based on a calendar. It should be based more on math.
This was just a follow-up to the AI question as far as last week, Sam Altman, he kind of was playing, he was using vague words, but trying to talk to the U.S. government about the possibility of federal loan guarantees to spur construction for chip factories, not for data centers, but chip factories. And he got some pushback as far as how much should the government be subsidizing or bailing out, potentially, OpenAI or AI in general. What are you looking for or watching for in that conversation as far as government's involvement with some of these AI companies?
Well, it's a slippery slope, right? But it hasn't been without precedent before. And you can think about, for example, automakers. The government has been in ownership of automakers. It has been in ownership of mortgage companies, right, FHA. But you look at those things right now and say, at what point is it overstepping? But I do theoretically like the idea, instead of making it a grant, is that we participate in the upside. So there are companies, and you can go back and look, that said the government made a loan, and then when it came due, they got made whole. Us taxpayers, all of us got made whole. So conceptually, it's a good idea, but there's no question it's a slippery slope. So whatever side of the aisle that you're on, you say, okay, that's a good idea. But, you know, when the shoe is on the other side, they go, they're going to make you do this and this and invest in these other companies that may be, you know, a socially conscious or whatever, pick an argument of topic. That's where it becomes a slippery slope. So if it becomes transparent and you can say we can make that, instead of making a loan or a grant, we can make it equity participation and the tax taxpayers will be made whole. I think that's a valuable conversation to have.
Hey, real quick before we wrap it up, any concern that some of the government numbers that we all rely on and a lot of the decision makers rely on are not going to be available for the Fed or other agencies to make sort of make those big grand decisions for the country?
Yeah, you know, you think about, are we in a holding pattern? And a lot of the data that we get, Steve, is not from the federal government. Yes, the Federal Reserve definitely needs it because they look in the rearview mirror. But, you know, I always say who's a better arbiter is really the market, right? Because the companies come out and they have feet on the ground. The CEOs say, this is what's happening in our company. Let me tell you about what happened last quarter and what we see happening. And that's the reason why you can go without it. It shouldn't be a forever thing. But the market is a better arbiter, I think, than looking backwards in the rearview mirror.
All right.
All right. Don't forget, we got a year-end tax planning webinar next Tuesday, I believe, the 18th, 1 p.m. I'll be out there with your guys talking about all the things you got to think about this time of year. That's a year-round conversation, but
for sure.
Especially focused now. Dave Spahn, always appreciate your wisdom. CEO at Annex Wealth.
All right. Nice to see you guys. Thanks.
All right. Quick break here on 620 WTMJ.
What are you doing Wednesday night? Well, if you think you have the smarts, you can join Steve and me and Jeff Sherman for WTMJ's Trivia Showdown this Wednesday, November 12th, 7 p.m., Revere's in Delafield. Have you been there?
Never been there.
I've heard very good things.
I'm excited.
I've had multiple people reach out saying that Revere's is very cool.
Looking forward to it.
So it's going to be presented by Quizmaster Trivia. It's benefiting Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive. So all you need to do, if you're going to come and join us, and we want you to, absolutely, bring an unused toy or text TOY to 855-616-1620 to donate there. Bring your friends, play trivia for a great cause, hang out with Steve and I. Are you serious that your Christmas coat's not going to be here in time, though?
It sounds like it's not going to make it. I was very excited.
It's a big promise that you're letting the people down.
Yeah, hopefully it'll show up. There's a window of opportunity.
I bet Kohl's has something.
Yeah, but I don't want to buy them because I already ordered a nice one, like a corduroy one. I can wear it all through the holidays, you know, be that guy, that old uncle or whatever.
What color is it?
So it's either red or green. I don't remember which one we ordered now.
It's corduroy, not velvet.
No, I wanted the corduroy look. Mm. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
But I'm very excited. I think it'll be a very fun night.
After the break, booing at a football game unrelated to what was going on in the actual game on the field. What's that about? We'll discuss after this. All right, if you're watching football yesterday, which I did a lot of, I watched the Berlin game, which the Colts won at the end of the game with a field goal. I watched the Bears, who I was hate-watching, to watch them lose to the Giants, and they snuck it out at the end. I was very disappointed with that. And then I watched all the other stuff and watched Aaron Rodgers look old later in the evening. But watching the Commanders game, here's some trivia for you. How long has it been since a U.S. president has attended an actual regular season
game? Regular
season game.
Because President Trump went to the Super Bowl at the end of the last season.
Not that. Not counting that.
I have no idea.
50 years.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Like, why wouldn't you go if you're president?
The Nixon?
Good question. Doesn't say the year.
Who was president in 1975?
Well, someone Google that and let us know because we're busy right now doing
the show.
Feels
like Nixon's a safe bet.
So anyway, Donald Trump, the current president, was there. And I give him credit for going because I think that's pretty cool. And he was actually doing the oath for the new recruits in the military. They were on the field. And hopefully people weren't booing at that time because that's not appropriate. But as is the case with politics, a lot of people in the crowd. We have some of the
boos. Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford. Thank you. Thank you, Jazz. Producer Jazz.
Got it.
On our game today. All right. So. The president's there. They put him on the mic. He gets booed. They introduced him, all that stuff. Maybe it's just, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump that much, but I'm a fan of the president. And I don't know that you should be booing a president at a football game, especially when the military's there. And
it's contentious times we live in.
It is. And
pretty sure if it was the other way around and Kamala Harris was the president and she showed up, she'd probably get booed at some events. I don't know. I mean,
according to the story I'm reading, the booing continued during the oaths. That's not appropriate. Is it? No. As I said, I'll give them credit for showing up. I think that's pretty cool. And why it would be 50 years for a regular season? They all travel constantly. Like, there's always, I guess you have to be a football fan. Maybe they're too busy. Air quoting busy to show up at football games.
So he was there because it was a Veterans Day.
Well, there's a side story to this. He's also apparently expressed an interest in having the new stadium that he was part of.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Be named after him. And I'll put myself in the not a fan of that idea camp.
Who would be involved in that decision?
The owners.
Just the owners.
Yeah, because to do that would probably mean not taking millions of dollars from a company. Seems like a bad...
Is he going to pay them to put his name on it? Well, that's usually how this works.
Here's how it gets weird. So donors, just like that whole East Wing, you know, ballroom, could kick in and say, well, we'll do that. Let's name it after the current president. Maybe by the time it's done, former president. We'll pick up the tab. Don't be surprised. This president, of all things, has a lot of sway with donors. Some might call it an uneasy alliance, but, you know, that's them.
Welcome back to Point Taken. I'm Kristen. He's Steve. A very exciting, is that the word that I want to use? Sunday evening after I had kind of checked out for the weekend from updating my phone consistently. But then all of a sudden, our text thread with Joe and Bill lit up. And things were moving fairly quickly in the Senate with enough moderate Democrat senators breaking with the rest of the party to vote on a bipartisan bill with Senate Republicans, and very mixed reactions, I would say, as far as, so the shutdown is not officially over, but they did vote 60-40 on this new bill. It has to go back to the House, which we'll see if there's very much contention over it. I don't know if there's expectations that there's some House Republicans who won't vote for a bipartisan bill. So if that gets blocked...
There's a lot of assumptions that it's just going to be an easy road. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. And so I have... It's because we said this early on as far as the what happens from shutdowns being a messaging war and who wins the messaging war of this. And for Democrats, it's interesting that the timing of this after... Good night on Tuesday for Democrats, and seemingly a indication that more so Republicans were getting blamed for the shutdown, that all indications saying, like, hold the line, and then for less than a week later for, I still maintain that, like, Chuck Schumer's in on this, but he's up for re-election, so he couldn't be the one to vote to reopen the government. But as far as who, if you look at the list of people who did vote to reopen the government, who are in very safe or retiring, he was the one being like, yeah, go do this. So I don't know if it just becomes Democrats caving because so many people were hurting or what they really want out of this besides, even though we did, like, there's the ACA sub D, it's a promise that we're going to talk about it, but at least inroads as far as making that a big deal? I don't know. What are your main takeaways from this, Steve?
Well, one, it sounds like if the deal goes forward the way it's at least been proposed or talked about, the SNAP program would be protected through next year.
Which is great.
Yeah. So that was one of the pain points. You talked about, you know, what was some of the motivation here. It's sort of, I think the restrictions on air flights going into what is the busiest travel day of the year. You can argue if it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. I think it's Thanksgiving. That plays into this. I don't know what the Democrats' play was, because if you got the SNAP thing for at least a year, and that's a good thing, because you and I have talked a lot about this, and you have at least a conversation and a vote on subsidies and the ACA, what else were you going to get? You don't control...
If they get that.
Well, it's...
And that's the promise,
for whatever,
right?
It means, it said guarantees. Take it for what it's worth. But they don't have any power because they don't control anything. So... What else did you think you were going to get is be my question. It seems like they got something. And there are some Democrats, or at least people that lean left, that are saying some good things about this proposal. Again, it's not done yet. So until we know what's actually in the final, it's just conversation. I think it had to end at some point. It's now the longest shutdown in history.
41 days.
Yeah.
Today was 41.
It's not a good thing.
I mean, what is interesting, I think this was from Sam Stein. You sent this last night as far as how the expectation is this actually won't impact the midterms at all. Like, we're way too far out from the midterms as far as what people are paying attention to at this moment, as far as this being a winning campaign issue. He referenced that at this point, in 2013, in the 2013 shutdown, people were convinced that Republicans had just screwed themselves. Within days, everyone was talking about a failed website launch related to the healthcare law, whose subsidies we just waged a shutdown over. So much will happen in the next year. And I just don't know, in for a party that is fighting against the assumption that they're a weak party, I don't know if this gets them any points with people who think they're weak.
That is correct. That's right on point. Where the Republicans, and more specifically the president, have a tension point is if they don't do anything on the subsidies, if they don't do anything, if they have this vote and nothing changes or they just go away, Republicans own that issue. So having an actual conversation, they own that then. So as Americans, you and I have talked a lot about this, feel the pain of higher deductibles, no care, less care, harder to get access to health care. Democrats can point to that and say, well, this president, this Congress, led by Republicans, they did that. That is an argument you can make at midterms.
Do you think that there is an actual appetite from both sides of the aisle? I know they say there is. But because the point is, I think Trump made this point over the weekend, which is totally true, that these subsidies are just money that goes directly to insurance companies, which no one wants.
That's
right?
The problem.
Like no one wants more money to go to insurance companies. We want the actual cost of when we need health care to not be so expensive, and we want the premiums that protect us from going bankrupt when something bad happens to not be so high. But the subsidies right now don't actually solve either of those things, right? It's just passing the bill so that the government is paying directly to insurance companies versus you paying directly to insurance companies. And so do you think there's finally an appetite to actually start talking about healthcare policy and why it's so GD expensive in this country?
Yeah, in the public, absolutely.
No, certainly in the public. I mean, because like John Thune started talking about it last night, and I don't know if it's just lip service or if there's actually some kind of momentum of feeling like we got to do something, or if they're all, not all, but enough of them are in the pockets of insurance companies that it's, like I said, just lip service.
That's also where the insurance companies do very well, and that's the lobbyists that descend upon Congress when they ever have these conversations, and that's they almost always win, those lobbyists being associated with the medical providers. There's opportunity. Tremendous opportunity. The pain, again, is if the public is loud enough to their elected officials in Congress and say, you're screwing us. I can't pay $5,000 more. I can't pay $10,000 more in the middle class, in the whatever class you're in. I can't absorb that cost. That's when it gets ugly. That's when there's opportunity.
I mean, even if you're making as a household over $100,000, $5,000 a month for a premium?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's not that's not working. That's not mathing.
It's crazy. It's not a... It shouldn't be a hard thing, but we have a Congress that doesn't actually work on things. They talk about things. That's what's frustrating. Chris and Steve, after the break, I'm doing some fun football broadcasting tonight, so I'll tell you about that, and we'll talk a little football. Packers, Eagles, the game of the week.
Also, the Badgers won.
Yeah,
and they stormed the field.
They stormed the field. The 3-6 Badgers, something like that. God bless those Badgers fans. All right, quick break on Point Taken. All right, yes, it is game day. I'll be doing Green Bay game
right
day.
After the show?
Pretty much. I have a little recording to do, then I'm heading out.
All right.
Because I have to be in position at 4 o'clock, because I'll be joining the Gabe and...
The Gabe
and Alex Strofe on ESPN 94.5. And then at 5, we sort of simulcast on 620 WTMJ. You'll hear a little bit of me, and then you'll hear Gabe and Alex as I head into the game.
Is Kathy going?
No.
Who's your guest?
I don't know yet. It's sort of up in the air. So
are you just going to pick someone randomly from the Thunder Trio?
I might, yeah. And I'm definitely not staying the whole game, so hopefully the Packers get a big lead and I can just easily listen to the broadcast on the way home. But of course,
we are favored tonight, despite our terrible game last weekend.
I don't have great confidence in the Packers, but I mean, we've seen them go up and down. We have no idea.
One of the funnier memes I saw last weekend was... like a faked text exchange, and as someone was like, "What's that?" Someone sends just the Green Bay Packer G as a text, and the respondent says, "What does this mean?" He goes, "Means if I send you this, it means I may be coming, I may show up, I may not show up. You're gonna have to guess."
Here's the thing about these games: Everyone in the country is going to be watching the game. It's the Monday night game.
Well, unless you still have YouTube TV, I'd have to figure it. Literally all day yesterday, Mike, my husband Mike, was he's like, where is that antenna? I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we have an antenna somewhere in our house that he's desperately trying to find. Otherwise,
you can buy one at Ace Hardware for like $10.
Okay, maybe he'll have to go do that today because we have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And as of right now, that negotiation is not settled. And so you cannot, if that's how you get your cable.
Yeah, good luck.
You're going to have to figure out a different way to watch tonight's game.
Rabbit ears work. I just hooked up rabbit ears to a TV I have in the basement. I have to watch in the basement if I get back in time to watch the end of it. So, yeah, I don't know. We're getting $20 back from YouTube TV for the inconvenience.
For the inconvenience.
Yeah. Now, the Badgers won a surprising victory on Saturday.
I did not watch the game closely. I didn't either. This is hilarious. Are you a fan of Texas Roadhouse?
My wife Kathy is a fan.
So there's a very popular one in Oak Creek.
Oh yeah.
So two of our best friends, he works for Molson Coors. They both work for Molson Coors, but he's a sales guy, and one of his accounts is Texas Roadhouse. And I had never been to one. And
so you went to the Oak Creek one?
We went to the Oak Creek one. Oh. It was packed. It was my first time.
It's always packed.
It was pretty good for the price point.
Their food's great.
It was pretty good. But the game was on, and so we sat there and we watched the game, and I was like, oh my God, they're gonna win. Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're going to win. And then we sat there like, do you think they're going to rush the field? And we kind of said it jokingly. And they did. In the sleeting, cold weather, those dogged fans.
I'm happy for the
shirtless
fans.
Ran into the field and did not knock down the goalpost, but still were very excited for the first time. I think it's since 2021 that they beat a seeded team.
Yeah.
So anything's possible.
What'd you have to eat at the Roadhouse?
Ribs. Which were very good.
I've had them.
The ribs were good. Yeah. And then Mike ordered something called roadkill, which is basically like a burger patty with cheese and onions and mushrooms on top. But the chicken fritters, that's what Frankie had.
Yeah.
Those were good. Hmm. The big drinks.
I drive
very large cocktails.
Yeah, I've been by there a million times. It's always busy.
It was packed.
My wife meets her girlfriends there for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there a few times.
It was. I mean, I'm gonna say. I was like, you know, it was. We kind of went there as a joke, but it was mostly just to point out
to
me.
Thanks for the visit to Oak Creek.
Because I had never been, and now
probably been a while since you've been in Oak Creek. I bet you don't come down to the creek.
Well, we did. We also stopped at IKEA. Frankie, big fan. Frankie loved IKEA.
What's not to like? You can
jump
on beds.
She was very excited about all the different stuffies and the kids' rooms and stuff.
Did she pile stuff into your cart?
She did not, but she was. It was very hard to extract her from one of the kids' jungle bedrooms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had to throw her over the shoulder and kicking and screaming.
So the cool thing about kids, especially girls, because I had two of them, their taste in their bedroom will change over and over again throughout their young lives. So get used to that.
Get used to paying for remodels.
Yeah, new carpeting. I remember painting Chrissy's walls pink, which was a nightmare to get rid of that pink at some point. Now they're dark green for the Packers, of course. All of that stuff. You have to look forward to
great.
That.
Great. Can't wait.
All right, we'll wrap today's show, the Monday edition, which is a very good show, by the way. If you miss any or all, just find it on the podcast page. Kristen and Steve, 620 WTMJ.
Monday in the books.
All done. Oh, I have stuff to work up in Green Bay, but...
Well, I mean, I always have a lot to do.
You're a very busy person.
We have trivia on Wednesday night. I get to interview and moderate an event with... have you ever met Caitlin Luby? Environmental scientist at Journal Sentinel? We're doing an event with her. It's talking about the benefits of having a scientist in a newsroom. So that's on Thursday. I got to do a podcast tomorrow night. There's a lot going on.
Reminds me of, I was invited to do the address, the MC's task for the City of Waukesha Veterans Day.
How was that?
It was awesome. Hundreds of people, great speakers. Co Wynn, who is the interim director of the War Memorial Center, was the featured speaker. Brilliant life story, by the way. Rescued from Vietnam, comes to the United States, goes to West Point, graduates from West Point. It's like I said, that's like a very interesting story. And I said, we got to use that in some way at the station. But the people were so nice, big fans of our show. Many people came up to me and said, love the way you guys approach the show. So to the City of Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley, I have a little bit of audio that I'll figure out some way to tuck it in maybe tomorrow on Veterans Day.
Bucks did a great job yesterday with Veterans Day. I got to go to the game. It was my first one of the season.
You didn't bring home a win, though.
Did not bring home a win, which was very frustrating. Mm. But as far as the difference, they had us in between one of the timeouts. They had canine dogs that helped veterans. They had one of the lieutenants come out with the big seated T-shirt gun. It was very fun.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, Yes.
Jim and Mary.
Jim and Mary, yes.
Got some legal talk tomorrow to talk, update all of the different law cases that are happening right
Lots
now.
Lots of stuff happening. There's a Supreme Court decision today, or at least not a decision, but they're not
a decision
taking
to
a case.
Not take a case yeah. for
same-sex marriage.
To relook at same-sex marriage. Celestin Morgan will be here
yep.
from to talk.
City Forward Collective on education in our community.
Education.
Always good.
And I think that's it for tomorrow for guests.
Yeah. We're guest-heavy this week.
We had our second edition of our newsletter, Extra Points, went out yesterday. Again, if you subscribed and you did not see it, please check your spam or trash and then just mark it not spam and then it should come to your inbox.
Yeah.
But if you did get it, send us feedback. We would love to know what you like about it, what you don't like about it, things that we could include. One of the things we're thinking about is having texts of the week. Thoughtful feedback that we get. But if you still have not subscribed and you would like to, just text extra to 855-616-1620 and we will send you a link to subscribe.
Easy read. You can read it in less than 5 minutes. And there's some links if you want to follow them to the shows, to the podcast, even to recommendations that we have, sort of how we put our show together.
Yeah.
So help yourself.
All right. Anything else for today?
No, I'm up to Green Bay.
All right. Have fun. Stay warm.
Go Packers.
Go Packers.